chapter 2 of that same book, the first verse. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Hebrews chapter 3, 1 verse, verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And everyone say amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul asked the question when he said, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. My subject tonight is simple, as always. Jesus is in the house. Somebody let him out. Jesus is in the house. Somebody let him out. I want his fame to spread through this whole region tonight. Let's all lift our hands and pray and ask God to help us. Find your neighbor and say, I'm going to help that kid preach tonight.
I want you to do something for me. Right now it seems probably a little childish, but I want you to kind of pat yourself right here and say, Jesus lives right here. Star of this show is him. I said, the star of this show is him. He's the star. Anything that happens in his sermon that's preached, any miracle that's wrought, any song that's sung, whatever takes place, to God be all the glory. His fame is what's spreading abroad. He, does everybody say he? Jesus walked into a synagogue. A miracle took place. There were people astonished by it, the Bible says. They were even astonished by the authority of his doctrine, the Scripture says, because the Bible says it was not as the scribes. I'm going to stand here and tell you tonight, I'm thankful that I have something that the church world does not want to propagate, but I'm proud that I've got it. I'm going to stand right here and tell you right off the bat, I've never been more proud of repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infant of the Holy Ghost like I am today. I'm proud of it. I said, I'm proud of it. I want to stand straight and tall and say, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. He left the synagogue. He went into the house of Simon. I want you to understand something. While Jesus Christ was here in flesh, he performed miracles through his body. When he ascended back into glory, he didn't stop doing miracles. He just merely changed bodies. That's all he does. So he's still doing the miracles. Everybody say amen. Amen. He walked into the house of Simon. Now, I've done a little study, and I did find out Jesus wanted to make this his headquarters. It must have been thrilling to the heart of Simon and his wife to know that they would have staying at their house the Messiah, or the Master, or the Savior. If his wife, Simon Peter's wife, had been a sloppy housekeeper prior to his visit, you got to know she straightened up when she found out Jesus was going to be staying there. He's a holy God, and whatever temple he lives in, it's going to be holy. Hallelujah to God. But I'm just going to give you Creekmore 1:1 tonight. Just let my imagination run a little bit. Because somehow the conversation must have went something kind of like this. It would have been if I would have been standing in Simon's place. When they decided, Simon perhaps offered his house built by hands for the Lord to reside in. We're going to fix you a room. We've got you a bed. Everything is going to be there. This house belongs to you. We want it to be yours. You've got to know, friend of mine, that Peter felt very good. The fact that Jesus chose to stay there and wanted that to be his house. What I'm simply trying to tell you tonight, you ought to do something to you tonight to know that he lives and abides in your heart. You don't need a song to make you shout about that. You don't need a sermon to make you shout about that. But knowing we are the house, he lives in. Oh, hallelujah to God. Now, you've got to know, Brother Huntley, that when this conversation went about, if Simon's wife, as I said, was a sloppy person, you know she cleaned up her act. You got to know that Simon set her down and said, look here, lady. There'll be no sweeping dirt under the carpet anymore. Not anymore. Jesus is going to stay here. Now, when some of the boys come on, John and James and Bartholomew and Matthew and some of my fishing buddies, you know, maybe that's so different. But when Jesus is here, things have got to be on top shelf. I said top shelf. Finally, Pentecostals are understanding that this experience doesn't have to be on the bottom of the totem pole.
My God, have mercy. You need to walk through this wall with your shoulders turned back and your head tilted high. You got something first class and top shelf. You got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But the point that I want to get across to you is that even though Jesus was going to grace Simon's house with his presence, I got a feeling that Jesus set him down and said, Simon, I appreciate you giving me your house. I appreciate you wanting me to live here. I appreciate that. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to accept your invitation. I'm going to live here. You can study some history to tell you that people talked about the physical house of Simon Peter as the house of the Lord for centuries because Jesus stayed there often. But I've got to know that in the course of the conversation, Brother Cole, when Jesus set him down, he said, Simon, I live there. But he said, you got to understand one thing. You cannot lock me behind the door. You can't put bars on the windows. You can't do that, Simon. You just can't keep me in here and let the cobwebs develop. You can't suffocate me in here. There is a world out there that I will have to at times forego the house and walk right out of it. What I'm telling you, Jesus is in the house. But somebody in Mississippi, open the door. Let him out. He's going to turn this community upside down. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to cast out the devils. But he's got to come out of the house. He does. He's got to do it. You've got to know that Simon said, fine. I can't lock you in here. Not at all. This is your house. You come and go as you please. So now they've entered into this house. I'm going to make a profound statement here tonight. It's going to shock some of you folks and probably everything in this building start running miles when I say this. God heals mother-in-law. Well, you didn't run, but anyway. He walks right into that house. His very presence done something. Now, I don't stand up here pretending to be anything except what God wants me to be. But I have sincerely tried to find the will of God for this camp meeting. And all that I've asked God to do, doesn't matter how simple the sermon is, it doesn't matter how old the song is, what I want more than anything is His presence. That's what I want. I don't care who preaches the sermon. I don't care who does the laying on of hands. I don't care who directs the choir. It doesn't bother me. All that I'm asking for is that He be present and that He be there. That's all I'm asking. So, He healed the mother-in-law. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Simon Peter. The mother-in-law is healed. The Bible says she ministered unto them. You got to know that Simon had a little bit of pride about him to know that when he walked out of the house and went down and picked up some fish at the market, that he could look those people square in the eyes and say, I'm taking this back to the master. Yeah. Who? Jesus. Living in my house. Fine. While they were sitting there in his house and she, the mother-in-law, was ministering unto them, Simon looked past the shoulder of Jesus and looked out the window, and somebody had dismissed the VA hospital. Son? I mean, they were coming looking like everything. Some were being carried on stretchers. Some were being led by the hand. Some were walking on walkers. Some were on canes. They were all kinds heading his way. Right through the gate, right in that front yard. I mean, Simon looks very puzzled. And he looks at his wife as if to say, why didn't you tell me we was having a tea party? But besides that, why didn't you tell me the guests that you invited? Look at that bunch out there. I see him excuse himself from the table and walk out the door of his house. He walks out there, and there's a fellow laying on the stretcher that grabs him by the ankle. Stops Simon short. And Simon looks down and says, what's the matter with you? He looks up by standing in his front yard. What are you doing here? Oh, I know what it is. I know. Just built this house. Beautiful house. Y'all come to give us a housewarming. Couldn't you have brought anybody healthy? No,
a beautiful house. I mean, I put the shingles up there myself. The draperies and all that. Beautiful house. Nothing wrong with the house being beautiful. Not on your life. So Simon's standing there with a little carnality about him saying, well, I'm proud y'all showed up, but the housewarming is not today. I'm sorry, you'll have to come back another time. And when you come back, you know, bring a blender with you or something, or bring a little gift or something. But right now, I'm busy. I don't have time to stand out here and entertain all of y'all. That little cripple that was laying down on that stretcher still grabbed him by the ankle, looked up from his laying down position and said, Simon, your house looks fine. Your house is beautiful. We're thankful you got new shingles. Glad you got curtains. But we're not here to see your house. We're not here to look at your house. We're glad you got a good house. We're glad you got a big house. But we heard down yonder that Jesus lived in your house. I'm glad for our holiness. I'm glad for the long hair on our women. I'm glad for the short hair on our men. But what this world is dying to see, they found out that Jesus lives in this house. Somebody let him out. Your long hair never healed a cancer. Your short hair never delivered a devil. All of that has its place. But my God, open the door and let him walk out the door. Woo! About that time, the master put his hand on his shoulder and he turned him around. Peter said, oh, step aside, Simon. House is fine. You keep it beautiful. You keep it clean. You keep it spotless. Keep it just like it is. I'm never really leaving it. But move out of the way, Simon. They're not here to see your house. He walked right out into the midst of them. And the Bible said he healed many of them of divers diseases. And many that were possessed with devils. And then again, a few verses later, the Bible says, again, it was noised abroad that he where's that pamphlet that advertised our camp meeting? Camp meeting 85, July the 8th through the 12th. Good looking picture of Reverend G.R. Travis. Good looking picture of C.H. Triplett. I don't know who that guy is in the middle. Reverend Wayne Huntley looked great. Brother Cole hadn't changed a bit. Looking great. Do you think that one face on that pamphlet is going to do one thing for the state of Mississippi? Not on your life. I've never healed one cancer. I've never been able to cast out one devil. I've never been able to give one person the Holy Ghost. But just as soon as some folks are here, not Terry Creekmore, not Dwayne Huntley, not Billy Cole, but that he, Jesus, is here. They're going to come running. They're going to come running. They're going to come running. They got to know he's here. Woo! He's here. He's here. He's here. And it's going to spread. 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 He's here. Oh. They heard he was there. My God. A fella's behind his little desk there, bringing up a sale on his cash register, and a person comes running in the door and says, hey, what is it? Keep quiet, I'm trying to make a sale. I just found out he's back in town. He? Who? Him? Sorry, I gotta make the sale later. Closing the store, runs over there and turns the little card around and says, close for the day. He's in town. You can sell anytime. You can buy anytime. But honey, when you get a chance to be in the presence of him, you gotta shut down everything you're doing and get there. I said, get there. Be wherever he's at. Get there. They packed out Simon's house. My God, Peter had never had such a housewarming in his home. They were packed out in the living room, standing shoulder to shoulder on their tiptoes in the window sills, all around looking through the windows, packed slap out. I mean, hey,
They could Simon could go to the next conference and they'd say, what kind of crowd did you have last night? They packed up? That's right. Packed up. That's the famous words of Pentecost. Packed up? Four guys come into town carrying a buddy on a stretcher. They get in. They have to stop there, get a little drink of water. And the buddy on the stretcher looks up the four guys that's brought him into town and says, are we there yet? No, we have to find directions. Got to find that house. So we meet a guy coming this way. I say, hey, sir, can you tell us where the house of Simon Peter is? Oh, you mean that big, beautiful thing? That, oh, that's such a big... Oh, I heard that the master bedroom is just this big and this long. And it, oh, what a... I've never seen a house like this. My wife wants the blueprint. That house, we're going to build one just like it. Oh, no. Great. God has got a good house. But would you please tell us, is he, Jesus, is there today? Oh, yeah, he's there. You go down here, take a right, and look right there in the corner. Thanks. Pick him up. Let's go. They ride there. When they get there, that house is packed out. I think I said that a while ago. It's packed out. It's packed out. Look at your neighbor and say, it's packed out. Just in case you don't believe what I just said, it was packed out. And they arrived there. When they get there, I'm going to say it again. It was packed out. They came there for one reason. Not to look at the house. Fine that you got good draperies. Glad you got a new rooftop. But please tell me, one of them tapped a guy on the shoulder that was on his tiptoes, and another one had his kid on top of his shoulders, and they were looking into the house, and he tapped him on the shoulder, and the kid looked down and said, hey, buddy, is he in there? And the little kid said, yeah, Jesus is in there. They're having a good time. But he was packed out. They couldn't get in there. Finally, the guy laying down on the stretcher, he looks up at the four. Well, thanks for helping, but we'll just have to try again. Packed out. One of them spotted a staircase on the side of that packed out house. And one of them said, hey, there's not one person on top of the roof. Let's go up the stairs. Get on the roof. To do what? I don't know. Let's just get up there. We'll think about it later, but we got to do something. I don't care if the house is packed out or not. We got to find it. We won't have to have much of his time. It won't take long to get what we need. Once we find him, he's still sitting there. It doesn't matter what you have to go through. It doesn't matter what you encounter. If you'll just find him and get there, that's all you need. I don't know what you came to hear tonight or what you came to see tonight, but I'll tell you, if you'll find him and get here, that's all you need. Now the scene changes. They're all in there listening to Jesus, and these guys are on the rooftop. Simon now. I want y'all to remember Simon. He's standing in that house, proud that is packed out. Backed out. He's proud. He never had a crowd like that in all his life. And they're all standing there, and I can see him, the smile on his face. Oh, he's just so proud and so pleased. Every pastor standing here would feel the same way he felt. Don't tell me you wouldn't. He was standing there. Oh, so pleased. He heard the strangest sound. He knew he just had the exterminator there last week. He knew he had killed the last rat they had. He knew something was bad wrong. Can you imagine the shock on his face when while he was standing there listening to the master teach? A piece of shingle. Rooftop. Oh, very embarrassed to think that his ceiling is funny. Oh. Now, hey, you know, one embarrassment's fine, but when this other one, I can see him looking mean over to his wife. Don't you? You're talking about the sky is falling. Pieces of shingles on the rooftop was falling all in his living room. It didn't seem to bother Jesus.
I mean, it didn't seem to bother him. He just kept right on teaching, talking. But Simon finally got the courage to look up. And when he looked up, somebody had tore a hole in his house. The roof had a hole in it. And in that hole appeared a face. And the guy that was looking down at Simon, it's all right. The guy didn't stop. I mean, Simon's going, hey, I know you need to see, I know you want to see him, but, you could stop if you wanted to. But the guy just kept turning away until the second head appeared. I thought, what are you doing to my house? What are you doing? Oh, God, I just had my hair fixed yesterday. You're trying to get us to shut it down? What are you doing to me? They didn't stop until they had a hole big enough to lay a whole stretcher in. Friend of mine, they didn't even ask permission. Not on your life. They lowered that stretcher right down the middle of that service. I'm going to send a message to glory tonight for all of us. God doesn't have to ask my permission anytime He gets ready to tear the roof off of this place. God doesn't have to ask my permission when He wants to reach all the way in the path of this tabernacle and turn everything inside out, upside down, with the power of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't have to ask my permission if He wants to take this platform of preachers and shake us, get our teeth rattled. He doesn't have to ask my permission. Tear it up! Tear it up! Tear it up! Tear it up! Simon! Simon! It's all right. We'll put you another hairdo up there. We just got to get to Jesus. There's going to be a revival hit this world. They're going to stop you on the street corner. You hear me? They're going to stop you in the grocery store. You talk about door knocking? They're going to knock on your door. And they're going to grab a hold of you. And they're going to say, tell me, I heard you had something that could take away my depression and relieve me of these feelings. Is it true? Is it fair? They're going to tear it away. They're going to tear it away. I don't want to kill this camp meeting or kill anything, but I'm afraid too many times we've got him shingled up. I said we got him shingled up. We've got so much plastered around, we can't give him any liberty to move. But I'm telling God, if he finds one shingle of jealousy and bitterness and rebellion in my house, tear it off, rip it away. I don't want it there. If he finds that I've covered him up with pride to where I cannot let him loose, then tear it off. Rip it away. Rip it away. Let him out. I know where he's at. Let him out. Let him out. Let him out. Let him out. He's in your house. Let him out. Let him out. He's going to heal our sick. He's going to raise our dead. He's going to deliver. Let him out. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Tear it away. Tear it away. Tear it away. You know the story. Completely made whole. Set free. I've seen our people for the 13 years I've been watching it and traveling walk in through doors
sat out on padded pews. They proud of the house. And nothing wrong with having a good house. The Bible said, whose house are we? But I have watched him try to move through a house. And they nailed another shingle on the rooftop. I've watched them sit beside sinners where the power of God was moving. And instead of opening the door and letting him out, they put another shingle and plastered him in. But not so in Mississippi in 1985. I will open the door and say, walk out, Jesus. Come on out, Jesus. Do whatever you want to do. He ascends back in the glory. 10 days in an upper room. Approximately 120 there, waiting. And suddenly, it hits. This is Creekmore 1-1 again. Peter felt mighty, mighty lonely after he left the campfire denying the Lord. But he's seen him again and then watched him ascend back into heaven. Goes back to the upper room. Mighty lonely. He's just not the same at the house anymore. But he's not there. He's praying. 10 days. He's there. Simon. Simon. I've heard that. I heard that before. Simon. That you, Lord? Simon. I'm coming home. Oh, my. I've been here 10 days. I got to get... hold off. I'm going to get the wife to go back and clean up the house. We just let your room get a mess since you've been gone. Simon! Not that house. Changing addresses. Clean up your heart. Clean up your spirit. Little repentance never hurt anybody. Sweep out your body. It's going to be the temple. And suddenly, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Jesus had come home. Jesus had come home. Jesus had come home. I'm going to say this. I don't know if my time's up, but I'm going to say this and tell you that if it bothers some of you to see a shout, blame it on him. He lives there. When you see us shouting and praising God, it's not just us doing it. It's what lived there. He's all excited and carried away. Some of you are standing there right now, and he's banging on your door. Get out of the way. 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 Peter and John, on the way to the temple to pray. Okay? Jerry Wayne Dillon, come cripple yourself right here. Cripple yourself. Cripple yourself. You're crippled. Get down, Brother Dillon. Get down. Come on. Come on. Peter and John, on their way to pray. Now understand something. Jesus lives right there and right here. He's in the house. They're going to pray. He, the Bible says, the cripple, is looking at them expecting to receive something. Here is what some of ours would have tried to do. Oh, you like the house? I am Pentecostal. Yeah, some of ours would have gave him money. Yeah. Like these threads, tailor made. Like my watch, it's fake. Just like his. And his. And his. Hey, look at me. Like my curtains, I suck at house. I appreciate our holiness. I appreciate it. Don't talk about him. But honey, I'm telling you something. When he walked up to that deck and stood there, if he would have tried to portray just the house, I can just about imagine what would have happened next. All of a sudden, something from the inside starts moving around. Jesus stirring up things. You got John standing here looking at Peter trying to show off the house. And John recognizes, hey, Simon, my God, forget about your house. Well, Simon's standing there. He's a shaking. He's a moving. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. He that lives in the house wants out. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. Jesus, come out. If you need something from the Holy Ghost tonight, if you need a miracle, if you need salvation, step out of your pew, walk down this aisle. He is out of the house. He's a loose. He's a loose. He's a loose. But Trippin, shout for him. Somebody by the hand and say, hey, Holy Ghost Christian, you got to open the door and let him go. Everybody get out of the aisle. Come up around the front. It's time to let him go. Before Brother Wolf and them minister to you and Saul, just let me give you a piece of information. When he lived in Simon's earthly house, he drew a multitude. But he didn't change that when he got into his temple. Go over to the book of Acts. You're going to find that while Simon was walking down the road, the Bible says there came a multitude. They heard that Jesus had just changed addresses, but he was still doing the same thing he done while he was down here in flesh. And they got close as they could to Simon Peter. That just the shadow of him might overshadow them. And the Bible says they were healed. Not one preacher in this place will be content with the only response of this congregation being the first few rows. When Jesus is let loose, he's going to cover every inch, every foot, every corner of this tabernacle. Brother Trippin asked you a while ago, but let's do it one more time. How many are standing in this building? You want
deliverance tonight? You want the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. There's one way back yonder. There's one over there. There's one there. There's one there. They're all over the sanctuary. How many standing here tonight, saint or sinner, and you need deliverance tonight? Let me see your hand. Uh-huh. Now, it's not something you work down. It's something you work out. It's right here. I tell you what I want to happen this first night of this camp meeting. I want every apostolic preacher to leave wherever you're standing or standing. And I want you to go through this crowd. I want to hear me, congregation. Don't stand there and look at them like nothing's happening. I want you to let something explode in your heart. I want you to reach out, grab them by the hand, and say, pray for me, preacher. I need something to be set free in my life tonight. Every preacher, leave where you're at and go through this congregation. Miracles, deliverance tonight.